Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Before we start, I'll need to take a vote in just a second. Last night, I was FaceTiming with my oldest daughter, Mandy, out in Montana. She told me that after church today, they're going ice fishing. And it reminded me of an old joke or story about ice fishing, but it's one of those real groaner kind of stories. So I need a show of hands. Do you want to hear it or skip it? Okay. Remember, you asked for it. Now, Midwest, we tell a lot of Scandinavian jokes, but, you know, people are getting more concerned about ethnic jokes and don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So one of the Lutheranauer speakers found an extinct tribe from the Bible that he thought wouldn't offend anybody. He found the Hittites, who are no longer around. So there were these two Hittites, Oli and Sven. And they had heard about ice fishing. They'd never gone, but they thought, well, let's try it. So they got their auger, got their poles, got everything, started to dig a hole in the ice, and they heard a voice say, "There's no fish under there." They thought, well, this must not be a good spot. So they moved a little bit, and they started with the auger, and the voice said again, "There's no fish under there." Moved again and started a third time, and it said, "There's no fish under there." Noli looked up and he said, "Is that you, God?" And the voice said, "No, I'm the ice rink manager." Oli and Sven weren't really listening very well. They heard something, but they didn't understand. Our text says about 8 days after Jesus said this. What was it that Jesus had just said, or said 8 days earlier? "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? What good is it for a person to gain everything in this world and lose their very self?" In the world of 2025, I think this is a powerful question. What good is it if we have all the good stuff of this life, if we're blessed in many, many ways, and yet we're in danger of losing our eternal soul? What good to be happy in this world if we will not be okay with God in the next? In our text, the very voice of God, God the Father, says from the cloud, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen, whom I love. Listen to him." During Epiphany, we want to try to really listen to God. Epiphany season was a time of discovery. We say an epiphany is, oh, the light bulb goes on. We finally understand, or at least we understand better. The epiphany that we want to understand is Jesus Christ was not only just a great man, but he was the Son of God, the Savior of the world, true God as well as true man. And the proofs that he did, the signs, were the wonderful miracles that we've been reading about for a few weeks. Epiphany opens with John the Baptist pointing to Jesus and saying, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now on Transfiguration Sunday, we conclude the Epiphany season. We prepare to move into Lent with Ash Wednesday, this coming Wednesday. And we hear the voice of God saying, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." I think really listening is one of the fine arts in life. You may have a good sense of hearing, but not be that good at listening. Careful listening is more than just hearing the sound. You may be like me. I can be in the car radio is going, a song's playing, and if you ask me, "Well, what was that last song about?" I probably couldn't tell you. It happens to me sometimes when I read the Bible. I'm a little bit ashamed to say that, but I can read a passage or a chapter and then I stop and think, was I really listening? What did I just read? And I go back, and I sometimes have to be more like Abraham Lincoln, who said he read aloud because he heard it as well as read it that way. I think we listen more carefully if something's important, don't we? If you're watching TV and an infomercial comes on, you probably don't pay any attention. But if it goes beep, 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 and says there's our tornado coming, you say, okay, where's it at? Is it in our area? Do I have to worry about it? In our gospel lesson, the living voice of God speaks to mankind. But the nagging question is, when God speaks, who listens? Or maybe more pointedly, when God speaks, are we really listening? St. Mark's account of the Transfiguration does more than recall this important event in our Savior's life. It challenges all who are reading it to walk by faith, to not only hear, but to listen intently, to understand, and then put it into action. Listen to the Master's voice. You know, in every period of history, there have been a lot of voices out there, and they compete for people's attention. And frequently the messages get confusing. I text with a young man, but he's 40. I'm going to be 45 actually pretty quick. And I will say something about, well, I read this, it's in history, and he'll say, well, whose history is it? And that's a good question sometimes. There's a steady barrage. The disciples had this. Jesus taught them. He lovingly told them that he was the Messiah, that he came into the world to pay the price of sin, that they could have eternal life by believing in him, by receiving forgiveness of sins. And yet, even as Jesus taught them, the Sadducees and the Pharisees and others were saying, no, he's just a nut. He's just a religious zealot. He's only a man. He's dangerous, if not evil. And even they didn't agree with one another. Our Lord had to spend a lot of time teaching them about the kingdom of God. He made the Old Testament promises that one day a Messiah would come true alive for them as he talked about it and said, I am the Messiah, I am the one who has come. Repeatedly, he urged them not just to hear the sound, but to listen to what he had to say, to listen and hear and understand the great good news of salvation through faith in him. Just days before Jesus was led up onto this mountain of Transfiguration, he told them about coming events. Here's what Jesus said. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. St. Mark emphasized it when he said this plainly. Luke's account tells us that Moses and Elijah were talking with Jesus about his departure. The departure that was going to take place in Jerusalem when he would be arrested and beaten and condemned and hung on a cross. Moses and Elijah surely knew of God's plan of salvation. They knew God intended to send his son into the world to be your Savior and mine. They knew he had to die on the cross to pay for our sins. You wonder what they said to him? Did they encourage him? Did they praise him for his great love for mankind? Did they rejoice with him that his death meant the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies that one day a Messiah would come? We don't know, but we know they talked with Jesus about the events that we call Holy Week. During this coming Lenten season, you will hear about the departure of Jesus Christ. Several years ago now, there was a movie that came out called The Passion of the Christ. Mel Gibson produced it. It's a movie that vividly depicts the last 12 hours of Jesus' life. When I say vividly, I mean it. If you haven't seen it, it's rated R because they so graphically show the brutal beating and the whipping and the crucifixion of Jesus. Each year, people who haven't seen it and who see it for the first time are almost stunned by the power of the images. Some of you are old enough to remember radio commentator Paul Harvey, and he talked about the power of the images and the overwhelming sense he felt that God did this for me. God the Father sent his Son, Jesus, to suffer all this so that I could be forgiven and have eternal life. I don't know how many will watch the movie this year, but I pray that those who do will see what God did, how much God loved them in sending His Son. And I'll pray that the Holy Spirit will point them to the cross of Jesus Christ for them. I pray it will move them to cry out, to ask for forgiveness of their sins, for Jesus' love and mercy. Let us hope it might also develop opportunities for Christians like you and me to say, yeah, that's the story, it really happened, and here's what it means for you in your life today. Moses and Elijah talked about the departure with Jesus. I pray we'll have the opportunity to speak with family and friends, and not only talk about the horrors of Good Friday, but the joy of Easter that follows, that Jesus Christ was raised for our forgiveness. Well, back on the mountain, before their very eyes, Peter, James, and John saw the Lord transfigured. We don't know exactly what this means, at least I don't, but his garments became a glistening white. And then appeared with him Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah, the great prophets who had heard voices of unbelief in their time, heard people mocking God, but they'd also heard the voice of God. Moses had seen a burning bush, a bush that burned but was not consumed, and he heard the voice of God. The voice of God saying, Moses, I want you to go to Egypt. I want you to bring my people out and bring them to the promised land. On Mount Sinai, Moses heard the voice of God when God gave him the Ten Commandments. He made a covenant with him that he would be God's people forever. The Old Testament, Elijah at times had been very afraid. At one point, he was in great despair. He wanted to just give up and die. And the voice of God came to him. In his case, not in an earthquake or a violent wind, but in a still, calm voice. The steady voice of God that drowned out all the world's noise and brought Elijah a message of hope that God would always be with him, that he could go and share with the people. Well, back up on the mountain, Peter says, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let me put up three shelters. I like that it says Peter didn't even know what he was saying. He just said, felt like, I got to say something here. But what he was kind of thinking is, let's build something that we can stay here. This is really cool. I feel great. We're in the presence of Moses and Elijah. We see the Son of God glorified. Let's just stay here. He wanted to preserve the mountaintop experience. But God had other ideas. From out of the cloud came the voice, clearly, unmistakably, this was a voice to be reckoned with. This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased, listen to him. It was the voice of God speaking to Peter, James, and John, but to all of us as well, saying to listen to the voice of Jesus Christ. The voice of Jesus is the voice of the Good Shepherd. He speaks with authority because his word is true. In a world of noise and confusion, he brings us the good news. Although we are bombarded with many other claims that say the way to God is good works, by being a pretty decent person, by trying hard. Or the way to God is by struggling to fulfill the law perfectly. It's by being very good. Or he says his way is the way of cross. Suffering, death, and resurrection. Competing and conflicting voices will try to confuse you and me. Our world is full of voices that say all kinds of things about God. During Lent, you'll see television programs about the life of Jesus Christ. They'll give us their own version of the story of Jesus. They'll tell us the Gospels don't agree. They'll say what the Bible says can't be trusted. They'll parade so-called religious professors before us to say, you cannot trust the Gospels. And they think because they criticize in the name of religion that somehow we might believe them. We can't let them do that. We can't let them confuse us. We can't let them diminish the Bible and God's plan of salvation. The world distorts the person of Christ. They try to explain him theologically or philosophically or psychologically in a host of other ways. Even some who claim to be Christians tell us he was just a mere man, a good teacher, or a hoax or a con artist. But we have the voice of God coming out of the cloud saying, this is my Son, listen to him. He's worth listening to because what he has to say has not only eternal consequences, but consequences for here and now. It gives us the promise of hope and love and forgiveness. It was a promise the disciples would need. They were going to go back down into the valley and face all kinds of trials and challenges. The site of the transfiguration couldn't be their permanent home because the Lord had work for them to do back down in the valley and in the cities. And the first step for Peter and James and John was to listen to the voice of God. What would happen in our lives and in our world if we more seriously practiced the art of truly listening to God's holy word? If we began each day looking at his holy word and asking God to reveal it to us, wouldn't we be a little less fearful and less confused by other voices, better able to deal with the challenges of life? How more peaceful our lives would be if we heard words like these: "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me, and I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them out of the Father's hand." We'd have a better understanding of words like, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life?" Isn't listening carefully what the story of Mary and Martha is about? Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching, but Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord said, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her." We need to listen to the Master's voice, because there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we may be saved. 2025 will have plenty of upsetting events and difficult experiences that may press in on us. Competing and contradictory and distracting voices will all try to tell us how we should live. But the gentle voice of your Master invites you to take up your cross and follow me. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, you are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." As we move into Lent and focus on the sorrow of the cross, we need not despair. The voice of God is still to be heard, and no noisy, boisterous voices of the world can drown it out. Luther said, "Let the man who wants to hear God speak read Holy Scripture." As you and I daily look at God's word, whether it's strictly reading the Bible or having a family devotion or singing a gospel hymn, we have the loving voice of God saying, "I love you. I forgive you. I want to promise you eternal life." What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? May God speak to us clearly. And may we not only hear, but truly listen and understand and take it to heart that God loves us and forgives us. Last week, Pastor talked to you about seminary classes on preaching. Said he had taken three and kind of said he wasn't sure he got enough, I think. But it's been almost 50 years since I took my Sim 1 and Sim 2 sermon classes, but I remember some of it. Writing a theme sentence, having an introduction in three parts and a closing paragraph, maybe having a tension getter to get started. I'm sure I've forgotten much of what I learned, but one professor said something that stuck with me these 49 years that I've been a pastor. He said this: "If this were the only sermon that someone would hear, if it was the only sermon they would ever hear in their life, would they know enough to be saved?" The professor meant, at least to me, no matter how well you wrote it, no matter how well you preached it, no matter how entertaining it may have been, if it didn't point people to the cross and Jesus Christ and share the message of salvation, it wasn't worth doing. So today, if you forget the Ole and Sven joke, you don't remember what Moses and Elijah did on the mountain of transfiguration, please listen and hear and remember the voice of God saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." God the Father loved you, you personally, individually, that he sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus went to the cross, and he loves us unconditionally in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our failure, and offers us the forgiveness of sins, and with that, the promise of eternal life. We don't have to earn it. It's a free gift. So listen to the voice of God saying to you today, "Jesus is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Believe him. Rejoice in the great good news that you are loved and forgiven. Amen." And now may the peace of God, which does indeed surpass our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ. Amen.